The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. I am Gordon Smart from Radio X. I hope you're doing very well. Producer Vin sitting here. We're both in beanbags, wearing yoga outfits, and we've got joss sticks on in the background.
Munching on cheese strings.
We're relaxed, aren't we, Vin?
Yeah, this is how you chill out, right?
This is, well, apparently so. Apparently so.
Let's get some frubes in.
Yeah, we've got the right vibe in here, haven't we? All we need now is somebody holding a massive fan, just gently breezing across us.
Yeah, say vibe more. I like that.
Can you vibe? Can you have a word with the bosses about that?
What, about extra fans?
Extra fans, maybe a forehand massage. Is that getting a bit weird?
It's creepy, that.
Right, this is the Evening Show podcast. I'm Gordon Smart, producer Vin is here. It's jam-packed this week. Classic albums, Automatic for the People. Make sure you have a little listen to that. Richard Ashcroft as well. He was in the studio on Wednesday night with his guitar as well. And I've got Catherine Ryan chatting about her rider and an amazing pronunciation of the word quasar.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
What did you think of that?
I hadn't noticed until you pointed it out. I was more concerned with her retelling of a Simpsons joke. Because I love those classic Simpsons jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know the thing about pronunciation of French words, it's always weird when you say Tour. How do you say Tour de France, Vin?
I say, not interested, mate.
You don't go for the France.
No, can't be doing with that.
Well, the Vol-au-Vent chat will be in another podcast another time. I hope you enjoy it. This is this week's Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
The one and only Richard Ashcroft is live in his studio. He's turned up, he's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Got a wee bit panicked there. He came in just before the 8 o'clock. Bang on time, though.
Yeah, man. Bang on time.
Looking good in an orange jacket tonight. I've been wondering what you might wear tonight. It's good jazz of that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was bought on Conduit Street, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice beautiful gentleman's place there, yeah.
And not a freebie. It's bought.
No. Freebies are great, but they don't have the same ring to them. Like Kurt Cobain said, there's not the same buzz in the charity shop when you can buy the whole freehold on the building, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. Richard, last time you were in was just before Christmas and you were on fantastic form.
Thank you.
Just played the O2, it had gone brilliantly as well.
That's right.
How was your Christmas and all that? Was it great? Because it seems a bit odd asking that in March, but good time over New Year?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, Christmas was okay. But now back into it, looking forward to playing America first time in a while and playing these arena shows, taking the... what we did in Liverpool, the O2, and to Leeds and Glasgow and etc. So that's going to be cool. Yeah.
How much graft do you put into it now with the rehearsals for America? You know, when you get back from, it's like the Christmas break, New Year break.
No.
Not a lot?
No. I think once it's reached a certain level, it's all there pretty much in the memory.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't even make a sound check for the O2.
Right.
I was stuck in traffic, but it's all there, you know what I mean? It's not there on day one, but it takes time to get there, but I think these sound checks are going to be used for a lot more writing now.
Yeah.
I've never been one for sound checks. Life's not a rehearsal, as we had on the history, and I believe that. It's like, find it very boring.
Yeah. I should say the musicians you brought in me tonight are all shaking their heads saying, nah, none of that. Don't need it. Does that give you an extra little thrill then, though, when you're going into it and you've got that sort of little buzz of extra excitement, a bit more adrenaline to the live shows?
In a way, it kind of... I want to demystify it as well. You know, let's not build these things up. You know what I mean? If you don't know it by now, then let's... You know, you shouldn't be here, you know what I mean? Let's not... I remember one of the early bands we supported, I can't remember what was going on, but the bass player was having this big, deep conversation with three roadies and he kept twanging one string, looking at him, and they were all like, you know, what can we do to make your life better, man? And I'll never forget that feeling of, like, stop being so pompous about it. I find it embarrassing.
See,
you know, sound check's embarrassing in a way. It's almost like, oh, here they are, here he is.
See, I love it. It's one of the
the bar are like, oh, you know, they're opening, they're all cynical losers.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean?
It's just the, you know, but it's great for writing. It's great for all that. I love it when you've got some great musicians like these guys on a stage and you can just play some new chords and just, you know, experiment.
So America as well, and you're looking forward to getting back out there. When was it? It's been a wee while since you've been last out there.
Yeah, last time I was there was with the guys from United Nations of Sound and I think that was, I don't know, years ago, yeah. So, you know, they can be a bit... I said to an interview in America the other day that, look, if I was dead and you said, okay, that guy who wrote those songs will resurrect him on Wednesday in Chicago, there'd be people queuing around the street.
Yeah.
But I'm alive and I don't fulfill those kind of like, hey, I have a duty to, you know, keep going back to America for months on end, you know, driving myself insane, you know. I don't kind of, never subscribe to that kind of thing, so... You know, it's just going, playing to the pockets of people who are interested over there and, you know, having a good time and, you know, potentially getting some influences on the next record as I'm traveling around.
Great stuff. Right, let's play a little bit of Rich Ashcroft now. This is They Don't Own Me on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Mr. Ashcroft, tour dates in front of me here, and they're looking like pretty exciting dates, I have to say. The European stuff, once you've done the UK dates. I've always wanted to ask you this, right? I went to see Paul McCartney in Germany, and I was there with a British lad, and he played Let It Be, and we were going mental, and all the German folk are sitting down not doing anything. Then he played Obladee Oblada. The place went absolutely bananas. Does your back catalogue and your canon of music go down differently in Europe? Do songs resonate differently with fans abroad?
I think they can do, yeah. I think there's a unifying factor to certain tunes that are universal and everyone seems to go mad. But, you know, definitely like Latin or South America, maybe, you know, they pick up that vibe in the Song for the Lovers. They feel the Spanishness in it.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Things like that definitely happen. But, yeah, I think the more the open... Or what I've noticed is the more societies that deal with death face on, they're more open to the more emotional tune. And, you know, that goes back to, like, the Irish folk song, South American stuff. It's these people deal with it on a daily basis, so they seem to be way more giving at the gigs and wanting that, wanting you to go to that place, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you've got a couple of firsts on this lineup as well. Glasgow, the Hydro, that'll be the first time you've done that, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, man, I think it'll be the biggest solo show in Glasgow, yeah.
It's a great event. Played. Yeah, pretty special event. It's like a crow's nest, and when you're in the middle of that, it will be bedlam.
I just think we both deserve that in Glasgow. It's like we've done the Barrowlands already. I've done all the gigs, you know, but as a solo artist, there's something special going on at the moment. It's like, all right, we're here now. You know what I mean? No one would imagine it. No one thought it. But look where we all are together now, because that little thing we had, those little chats after I left the stage, signing a few things, hearing all everyone's positivity, had an effect on me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I should tease the fact that there are three men in the studio with guitars, and what would you describe them as?
Maracas.
They are maracas.
Yellow maracas.
I wouldn't describe them as maracas. Maracas are like a bulbous thing on a stick, but you know.
Modern maracas. I was going to say, wow. Richard, if you'd asked, I could have done that for you, and I'd have been cheaper than him as well.
Jagger wouldn't have looked the same with a pair of them in his hands.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That's Morrissey, First of the Gang to Die on Radio X. You're listening to the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Richard Ashcroft still in the studio. We're just talking about autobiographies there.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Richard? You're going to get one out? Can I do it?
I always used to threaten it. Like, I think they're embarrassing again. They're just full of, you know, generally people buying them that have got, they're so full of it, like, we care, you know.
Yeah.
But they're great for the reader, I suppose, getting a bit of an insight. But a lot of them aren't frank. They're not candid. I like putting those two words together, frank and candid. You be frank and I'll be candid. Can I be frank and you be candid?
I'm happy to be candid for you.
All right, I'll be frank. Being frank, I just say, yeah, a lot of them can't really truly go there, can they? Unless a lot of the main protagonists are either dead or, you know, so a lot of it, I think, is a watered-down version or aggrandizing their own careers and stuff. But
do you remember enough?
Not interested in them, Maria.
Do you remember enough from the glory days?
We were just talking about that, and it's like, you know, I don't know. I remember certain things, but of course, like anyone who lived through that period, there were certain nights and times that, no, I don't have a real detailed memory of, but I think you never know. I think it's a good threat to anyone who wants to make up any bull about whatever happened in my life before. I just say, listen, you know I'm going to write a book.
Yeah.
So you can say what you like now, but when I write that book, you know, the true story, be ready. So I think a book can be a tremendous, it's almost like a nuclear weapon, it's a deterrent.
Yeah, yeah.
My book is my deterrent to anyone who wants to rewrite my history or the way I saw it, do you know what I'm saying?
It's there when you need it.
Yeah.
Right, Richard, this is the bit we're really looking forward to. Would you like to give us a couple of songs?
Yeah, we're just going to do a version of Hold On. We did think we was doing They Know On Me, but you played that at the beginning.
Yeah.
So we're going to do Hold On, maybe a bit of Black Lines, something like that.
Nice one. All right,
here we go.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Now, the finest lager in Scotland, Tennent's, have found a great way to acknowledge Scottish cultural legends. The brewers have come up with an honour system with the ultimate gong, and at this moment we should really have a massive drum roll, a golden can. Now, for me, that sounds like the ultimate thing to win. Anyway, so to mark the 50th anniversary of Biffy's debut album, They have become only the second on the prestigious list of great Scots to receive the Golden Can. So the Ayrshire trio were presented with the special award at a local boozer in Irvine at the end of last week. Tennants go way back with Biffy Clyro, almost 18 years. In 1999, the band played the Tea Break stage at Tea in the Park. Now, for anybody who's been to Tea in the Park, that's the stage where a lot of big bands got their first break in music. Biffy went on to play the festival about 10 times and climbed the bill and eventually headlined the main stage in 2014. So Biffy are following the footsteps, or should that be stumbling, drunken footsteps, of Trainspotting author Irvine Welsh, who won the first Golden Can. This is what frontman Simon Neil had to say about the prestigious award.
It's amazing. I mean, to kind of, you know, Irvine's obviously a cultural icon, literally icon, so it's a real honour for us to be thought of in the same kind of bracket as him. And if anyone's picked up a guitar because of us, or went to check out a band because of us, or it means a lot. It really does. You know, Tennants obviously because of Tea in the Park, and being Scottish, we grew up drinking a lot of Tennants, but Tea in the Park's been such a big part of our history, so Tennants have inadvertently played a huge part of our story. And so it's amazing I to be kind of thought of alongside Irvine.
That was Simon Neil, the frontman of Biffy Clyro. I have to say, I'm openly jealous about this. I think I'm still just below the purple tin of Tennants, which is the special brew, but a long, long way off the golden tin. If you want to hear a little bit more Scottish nonsense from Biffy Clyro and from me, just look up the Gordon Smart Evening Show podcast. Just type my name in to all the usual places and it will pop up. We're in for an hour about 3 or 4 weeks ago and they were absolutely excellent. Right, I'm going to play a bit of Biffy for you now. This is Mountains on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
So every Monday night on the Evening Show, I delve a little bit deeper into an album that might have played a big part in our life. So far we've had Blur, Arctic Monkeys, The Verve and Daft Punk in the show. And tonight we're going to delve into REM's Automatic for the People. Can you believe that almost exactly to the day, 25 years ago, Automatic for the People was being finished, 6 months before it was released? And the reason for that is that they spent 6 months agonising over it and tinkering with it until they got it absolutely right. But what a phenomenal success it became. I think it sold something in the region of 18 million albums, multi-platinum all across the world, and it was a huge, huge success. Number two in the US album charts. And how about the singles, the six singles from this album? Drive, which opened the whole album, Man in the Moon, The Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight, Everybody Hurts, Night Swimming and Find the River. Brilliant stuff. And of course the band, Michael Stipe, Bill Berry, Peter Buck and Mike Mills were the man behind it. And interestingly, Michael Stipe isn't involved in the recording process until he puts his lyrics down, which I thought was really good. Producer Vin is also a massive fan of this album, and I know that he was fascinated by the recording of it, because I didn't know this until today, that John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin, he provided all the string arrangements, which are some of the most beautiful and touching parts of that album.
That's what makes the album for me. I had no idea that it was John Paul Jones either. That's really incredible. Imagine being able to call him up and get him to do some work for you.
It's great.
But that's what makes it a great album, because it's quite a broad, big, soaring, sweeping album.
Yeah.
But actually, it's the strings that make it intimate and make it personal and really connect, I think.
You forget it was their eighth album by that point, and they'd been quite grungy at that point and been on tour with Nirvana. So when they recorded it, it was a little bit miserable, and then they had to throw in a couple of songs to cheer things up. And I think Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight was one of those tracks, just to lift the mood a little bit. But Peter Buck said that it's probably the best album that they ever recorded. But some of the others weren't so sure. And you've got to remember, at the time this was done, there was quite a lot of controversy and rumour about how well Michael Stipe was. So the fact that they managed to get it together with it sounding not melancholy or desperate or depressing, but it's quite uplifting and quite a cheery album, actually, when you listen to it as a whole.
But it's optimistic, isn't it? So it's not... I think it would be easy for it to be sort of aimless and, like you say, depressing.
Yeah.
And it isn't at all. It's like... personally for me, it's like... You're having like a musical holding of the hand. It's really nice and sweet. It's a sweet album.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because at the time it came out, I was just turning into a teenager. I think that's the right way to put it. And they were celebrating turning into somebody completely different. They were celebrating being 30, which, again, I know I talk a lot about the time continuum and all that, but it really places the album at a specific point in their lives. And as we mentioned earlier on, REM were touring with Nirvana. So you can just imagine what that was like, you know, being with this angsty grunge band that were the biggest in the world, and they happened to come out with one of the best albums they have ever written. I've been listening to a lot over the weekend and listened to it again today. It's brilliant as a whole piece of music. So here's a chance to play two songs back to back from one of the greatest albums of the 90s. This is starting with REM, The Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight, followed by Man on the Moon, two REM classics from Automatic for the People.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
So this is The Evening Show on Radio X, and I'm Gordon Smart, and classic albums every Monday night, looking back at something special. I'll tell you what, Automatic for the People, almost 25 years ago to the day when that was written and released. Brilliant stuff. We just heard Man on the Moon there, which was a tribute to Andy Kaufman and references a conspiracy that his death in 1984 was faked. Like most of the album as well, the lyrics and the music were written separately. And I didn't know this until today as well. Producer Vim was telling me that Stipe had been competing with Kurt Cobain about who could say yeah more in a song, and Man of the Moon just edged out Lithium. Brilliant little fact that, I didn't know that. Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight, played that just before it, and that was borrowed from The Lion Sleeps Tonight, which was by The Tokens, and part of the deal for the rights so they could do that, they played a little B-side on the original single for that song as a little nod, as well as payment for the rights. The first four notes, I think, that he sang were exactly the same as The Tokens' version of it. Michael Stipe as well, there's a lovely little line about Dr. Seuss, which he kept pronouncing as Zeus, and he was giggling all the way through the recording of that. And Peter Buck said that Sidewinder was added to cheer the album up, to break the prevailing mood, because it was pretty downbeat and needed something lighter. And in the end, he felt like the album was a little bit lightweight, which is incredible to think. Some great messages in from you about this as well tonight. Ian Martin's loving that. And John Waghorn says, truly brilliant album. Loved that. If you've got any suggestions, make sure you send them in for classic albums on a Monday night. We'll be doing that every single Monday night. And one little other fact about Automatic for the People, they treated it as if they were working on the rigs or in the services or something like that. They did 3 weeks on and 1 week off to make sure that they kept the creative juices flowing, which I kind of admired. Made it feel like a proper job.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I had Catherine Ryan, the brilliant comedian, on. She's doing a new TV series at the moment called How Do You Get So Rich? And she let us into the little secret of what exists on her very extravagant rider.
I'm not in charge of my rider. I don't request anything apart from water. But everywhere I went, these chocolate croissants would appear, amongst other things, fruit and snacks. And then one day I went to a theater and they said, Catherine, we're so sorry. We haven't got any chocolate croissants. And I said, I don't eat bread. I hate croissants. I've never had a chocolate croissant in my life. And I feel that I'm being stalked by these chocolate croissants. And they said, well, it's on your rider that you must have two chocolate croissants. I was like, what?
Is there anything you'd like to mention that you'd quite like in life?
In life? I have everything that I want in life. I have a wine rack now.
Wow. Here's the proper question, though. Is it well stocked or is it half empty?
Half empty. It is, because I try to keep it fully stocked, but then there's wine there, and then so I drink it.
And it's there to be drunk, isn't it?
I'm drinking a lot more wine.
I'm glad you're doing that.
I'm not. I can't handle it, really. Have you seen that episode of The Simpsons where Marge gets a drinking problem?
Yes.
And she says, well, the doctor says you should drink a glass a day, but I just can't drink that much. That's like me.
I think I would pronounce it croissant, but croissants sounds just as good anyway. That was comedian Catherine Ryan.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
As Paul Weller, You Do Something to Me on Radio X. This is The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Richard Ashcroft's just dangled a carrot of an amazing rock and roll anecdote, and we're going to tease out of him. The former manager, Steve Cutner, has wild animals at his gaff, right? He had one called Walter Smith, named after the Everton and Rangers manager. He looked after Ian Wright, loads of famous footballers, and of course, Ashcroft's solo material. What happened to Paul Merson and the crocodile?
Yeah, like I said, sorry, Cuts, because obviously this is one of his best, but I think Paul was caught short and needed to go to Steve's bathroom at his house, and took the paper up there, as we do. And it was only when he was in full position did he realise that Steve had his crocodile in the... Steve had forgot to tell him the crocodile was in the bath.
Yeah.
And, of course, yeah, Merce screamed and came running out, supposedly, of the room, screaming at him, you know.
Should have moved things along quite quickly, though.
Yeah, this reminds me of a similar story of my wife's parents. They had a friend whose mother was, unfortunately, we're thinking, oh, there's dementia setting in, and she came down one day, she was living upstairs at the house, and said, there's a greyhound in the bathroom. And they went, yeah, okay, you know. Took her up to bed, and sure enough, a greyhound had escaped from someone else's house and nipped there through their back door and was just sat there in the bathroom. And, you know, these things can happen in life. You've got to take people seriously. You can't always put it away.
Greyhound. Yeah. Walter Smith, the crocodile. Absolutely superb. Loving it. By the way, amazing messages coming. We've got people listening in Argentina tonight loving this. How about this as well? I could listen to this all night. Thanks so much, Richard. Could we have an encore? Well, we'll see what we can do in just a second. Lady Stingray on Twitter as well. Richard Ashcroft's voice is sublime. And how about this? Richard Ashcroft's the best lyricist older sister, the Britpop era, beautiful, and could listen to this all night. Very nice indeed, eh?
Thank you so much. Very kind of you. Thanks so much for that positivity, man.
Can you do a little encore for us?
Yeah, man. We're just going to do a bit of They Don't Own Me, because it was one of the big tunes from these people, and I think people love it. So here we go.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Absolutely world-class Richard Ashcroft live in the Radio X studio. Richard, that was outstanding. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
Sounds absolutely brilliant. Loads of great messages coming in there. Lauren French, what a voice. Absolutely wonderful. Josh Fowle, voice is so sweet live. That's one strong vocal right there. How about this as well? Incredible live performance from Richard Ashcroft on Radio X. Made the journey up the M6 more pleasant. Incredible singer-songwriter. That's from Michelle as well. Loads of love there.
Well, good luck, Passfort Dunlop.
Loads of people getting very excited about Brixton as well, Richard. It's all looking good. And a message here from Selwyn in Scotland. Gordon, you're not welcome back in Scotland unless you ask Richard if he'd do a Verve song for us. But I think we've got our money's worth, haven't we?
I reckon, really. I mean, they're just in the ether, aren't they, anyway? Like, just to close your eyes and imagine it, you know. Yeah. See me in Scotland, I'll play all the tunes I wrote in that period.
Richard, that's outstanding. I've got to ask you, right, what happens next? You know, you do these tour dates, what can we expect next for you? More solo material or anything else up your sleeve?
Yeah, more solo material. I'm still waiting for my good friend Mirror Ways to put out a record we recorded almost 4 years to go together.
Right.
That I've been waiting for 4 years for the world to hear because it's so kind of catchy, such a great tune.
Is that Mirror Ways in the French producer? Yeah. Worked with Madonna,
He worked on Out of My Body on this track, on this album. So in that period, I recorded some good stuff with him, and this song in particular... I just said to Steve, who's a good friend with him, I texted him the other day, you know, I've kind of run out of patience. I'm like, Mirrorways, where the, you know, what is going on, man? So, yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully getting him to release that and record my new stuff, man. Yeah. So all good at the moment, positive.
God, thank you so much for that, Richard, because I have to say, it's not easy to get these things done anymore in front of Facebook Live. There are too many lawyers involved and all that carry on. So thanks for bringing a wee bit of magic into the studio tonight, because it doesn't happen enough these days.
I appreciate that, mate. I saw this all happening years ago, but it's good to keep smashing the paradigm. Thanks for letting me do that.
Real pleasure. Richard Ashcroft, live in the Radio X studio. Keep the messages coming in. Really appreciate that. What a man, Richard Ashcroft. How about that?
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I had man of the moment, Ed Sheeran, on the show last week, and I asked him for his / Gordon story. He took Crossing Swords to a whole new level with his story. This is what he had to say.
The only one that springs to mind is Kit Harington.
Right, yeah.
That was how I met him.
Yeah.
I actually met Richard Madden at a Euro Island as well. Both of them within about 2 weeks of each other.
Game of Thrones then. So how does that conversation go? Did you recognise
him? First time I met Richard at a urinal at the V Festival, and it was just after my performance, and he'd obviously like already had a bit of a heavy night at it, right. So he was in a very good mood, standing next to me like, you're right. And I was like, hey, man. So I was like really excited because he was Game of Thrones, and he was really excited because I think he was very excited. So that was that. But then the next time that happened, I was in New York, and I had been telling my mates, oh, I bumped into Richard Madden, Game of Thrones, at urinal. It was this kind of thing that, oh, it's quite cool, you bumped into each other at a toilet. And then I was in the Barry Hotel, and I went for a pee, and then, like, I kind of looked up and then looked to the side of me, and I just saw a massive hair and a beard, and I was like, nah, I can't be. So when...
You went for the handshake?
No, spud.
Good
spud.
Man,
always, you can't unfries. Handshake after.
You can't after that. Suddenly, Thrones makes more sense. That's what they were talking about in Game of Thrones. Ed Sheeran's / Gordon.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
My Thursday night got off to a great start tonight. Before the show started, I headed down to King's Cross in London to Spiritland, a great little venue, which is basically a very expensive speaker. That's basically what it is. £250,000 worth of speakers in there to hear the new Sabian album, the sixth album. And I have to say, it was a bit tricky to hear it, considering the speakers, because there were so many people there trying to get as close as they could to hear all the new material. It did make me think as well, they've moved on a lot since I first met them in 2004, when I bumped into Serge, and he'd just arrived in London from the farm where they were recording their debut album. And this is a lot different now, you know, just off the plane from 5 days in Sydney, where they played the Opera House with stinking jet lag to unveil their great new album to the world. And Tom was there as well. I got a chat with him just outside, just after the album finished, and he was miserable. Not about the album, because he's missing St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, because he's doing the old daddy daycare thing, looking after his his daughter Mimi. But yeah, there was a little bit of jet lag hanging on. They had 5 days over there, and Serge was talking about the Sydney gig, and he said that it feels like they've reached that stage now where they're on the kind of level of the Foo Fighters and the crowd, the interest. They didn't have to introduce themselves on stage. They didn't have to do, you might remember us, we're that band from Britain, we're the boys from Leicester. They just walked on and the place went mental. And I think Serge said he was a bit apprehensive about the gig over there because it was seated, you know, the whole gig was seated. But he said within about 15 minutes, the chairs were being ripped out of the Sydney Opera House and chucked around the room. One of the tracks that really stood out for me when I was listening to it was the third track. It's called 24/7. And I can remember about 8 months ago, there was a lot of talk of Serge getting somebody like Stormzy or a grime act on it, but he decided against it and he stuck with the old Iggy Pop theme to it. But it's got a great sound, and I tell you what, that is going to be an epic anthem for them when they hit the festivals this summer at Reading and Transmit up in Scotland. What else can I tell you as well? Yeah, the new single, You're In Love With A Psycho. The video has just been filmed for that. It's got Stevie Graham in it, who you'll know as Al Capone from Boardwalk Empire. Got Noel Fielding in it as well. But there will be another little cameo in it for their head of security, a great guy called Marty Farrow. He's got a part where he hits himself in the face with a pan a number of times. It's got a real One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest feel, the video to that. It's going to be superb. And John Kennedy's coming up in just a little while, and he's got a bit of a Kasabian surprise to add to that. So I can tell you, without going into too much detail, that the album is something special. You've got a lot to look forward to. The sixth album.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. I hope you enjoyed that. That was the Evening Show podcast from Radio X with me, Gordon Smart. If you liked it, leave a review, tell your friends all about it, and make sure you come back for more next week. I'm on air every night, Monday to Friday, 7 till 10, and also Sundays for Smart on Sunday. Come and join in. See you later.
Radio X. Get into the music.